Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another exciting show here on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron. Justin is out this week. He'll be back next week with an exciting update on his journey and coaching and all that he does. So it's just another episode of the Justice Department this week. It's just us, myself, and an exciting guest we have on our program today. Really excited to have our guest on the show. She's just one of those rare finds, as it'll be readily apparent once she starts telling her story and part of her journey. You know, we on the show here, we know that a lot of our listeners are either A, coaches themselves, and or B, folks, you know, contemplating becoming a life coach or an executive coach or something on that order. And so this show is certainly for y'all today. We got a guest that is going to share with us part of her journey and her experience. We're going to, you know, do it all, talk about her experience, her journey, but also we're going to focus, I think, a little bit on personal branding and how to develop and clarify your personal brand. And so I'd like to bring on Elizabeth Cantu. Elizabeth, how are you doing?
Hi. Hey, how are you doing? Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So you're in California. So what part of California are you based out of?
So I live in Ventura County, so close to Westlake Village, Agora, Thousand Oaks area.
Okay. That's still SoCal, right? Is that the northern part of Southern California? Or?
Yes, it is. So I'm probably about 10 miles from Malibu.
Okay, so it's not bad.
Yeah. It's a nice area.
It is a nice area. Wow. So get out there from time to time. So, okay. So you were like myself in a way. I wouldn't say I was a healthcare professional, but definitely a licensed allied healthcare professional. Talk a little bit about your background and share with us, you know, your background, clinical background, and how that developed into coaching.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. That's a great question. So I've spent the majority of my time working in the emergency department. So a very young age, caring for other people was definitely just in my nature. So if I could tell you a quick story, when I was 12 years old, I remember driving with my mom and her best friend, and I was in the back seat. And growing up in a place called Lake LA, it's out in the middle of nowhere. My dad was a mechanical engineer and worked out at Edwards Air Force Base. And so with that, you know, we're living out in the middle of nowhere. It takes about 30 minutes to get to town and desolate roads. And back then there was no cell phones. So if there was any type of accident, you just had to like pray that somebody would drive by and be able to get to somebody else's house and call 911. So I remember driving in the car with my mom and her friend, and all of a sudden, I just hear them both gasping. I'm thinking, what is going on? And I look in between them, and I see there's broken glass, there's fluids all over the road, and there's a huge lifted Ford Bronco on the top, like it had overturned. There's a lady laying in the middle of the road. Oh, so no. I'm 12 years old at this time, and my mom, she goes to stop the car, and before she could even stop it, I was like out of the door, running to go. And I, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was only 12, but I just had this innate calling to run to her and help her in this time of need. And, you know, that started this whole journey of becoming an emergency room nurse, working in trauma, and I've spent 13 years working in the ER.
Now, there's wasn't there another story that you told? Somebody came to the door at your house, and then didn't somebody ring at the doorbell and they were intoxicated?
I don't think so.
No, it wasn't you.
No.
I thought it was you. Maybe I was intoxicated. So I rang at the doorbell at the house and said, you got the person in an AA meeting or something. And they called and said, well, that wasn't you. Well, poo. Got
that's
that mixed
okay.
up. That's a good one too, though. That's more, I thought for sure we'd talked about that. But anyway, but yeah, so you once you got into clinical work, you know, you got into nursing and then you found that, you know, your patients and their families were really responding to you, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So, you know, it's interesting because as you go into this, you know, here I am, 12 years old, loving, you know, I'm like instantly drawn to wanting to go and help people. And then I find myself working in the emergency department and I'm having these huge breakthroughs with patients. It's crazy. I'm, you know, checking patients in, sitting with them. And every time my coworkers would walk by, my patients were in tears and they'd say, "What, Elizabeth, what are you doing in there?" Every time we walk by, these patients are, you know, they're in tears. And, you know, here I am getting all these, you know, praises, I'm getting cards, I'm getting awards, all these recognitions for like employee of the month because all these patients are thanking me for having these huge breakthroughs. And I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea. And I remember having a moment with a gentleman that was, you know, this guy walked in and he's older gentleman and came in and had lung cancer and was getting checked in for surgery. And, you know, everybody's always giving me the difficult patients because I had this way with them to help them break through this anger, this hurt that they had. And one of the nurses walked by and she's like, "You should be a life coach. I have no idea what you're doing here as an RN," because everybody that even walks into the vicinity of you or has a conversation with you, you change their life in like seconds. And so that started that journey to becoming a life coach. I thought, I don't know what a life coach is, but I think I'm going to go find this out because I kept feeling this tremendous sense of fulfillment every time I'm with these patients and they're like in tears and just like, "Oh my gosh, thank you." I had no idea that that was what was happening in my life. It's really, really eye-opening, really cool.
Very cool. Very cool. So that kind of opens the door for you then to transition into coaching. And, you know, as coaches, our experiences are a little bit different. And, and of course my experience was different, at least initially, because the thing that got me into coaching was working with executives. And I already had my population kind of ready, you know, ready already there for me. All I needed to do was finish the coaching school and get the accreditation and then kind of go to work guns blazing. And so it's a luxury and a curse, and I'll explain a little bit of that later, but the luxury was, okay, you know, I didn't have to sit there and sweat it like, okay, what's my brand, what are my service lines, what am I going to do, you know what I mean? Because I think you went to my site and it's pretty simple. You know, it's just the executive coaching and then the two aspects of sober coaching and threat management, brand management piece. So it's pretty much that. Now that's even for me widening out a little bit. So let's go back to you. So now you've gone from, you know, direct care to coaching. How did you discover, at least initially, or what was your initial thoughts on your branding? Tell us a little bit about that. And then here in a few minutes, we'll talk about where you are now with your branding. But what was your initial branding strategy, if you will?
Yeah. So I think that, you know, I think this happens with a lot of coaches, and even in my coaching certification course, a lot of people there had such a difficult time trying to find out who they felt like they could resonate with. Who did they feel that they could give the most breakthroughs and have these transformations with? And, you know, working as a nurse, I had so many people coming to me, right? And, men, women, children, firemen, police officers, executives, and then and these are all patients. They're not just people that I was working with in the emergency department. So it was really hard to narrow it down when people talk about like your target market. And so I just put myself out there, and then I found myself coaching all kinds of people. And, you know, I think that when you can, you know, when we go to these coaching certification courses, they definitely give you the tools that you need to do that. So you can coach a lot of different people, but is it going to give you the fulfillment? And are you really going to be standing in the truth of who you are and your life journey? Because I feel like when you can embrace those adversities and turn that into your mission, those are the people that you can truly help, because you know exactly where they've been. Go ahead.
No, so as a nurse and a healthcare provider, you were helping people with their problems, or helping them through mm-hmm. a particular problem mm-hmm. that they're experiencing in an inpatient or clinical setting, and now moving into your coaching. Would you say you found yourself doing the same thing, but with more personal matters and personal issues?
It's interesting because, you know, the only difference is I'm in a different place. I know it sounds crazy, but I had no idea that I was actually coaching people at the bedside. And, you know, but now it's just trying to, you know, now coming through this whole branding and really being able to hone in and focus on the people that I know that I can really help with huge transformations to.
Okay, so it sounds like you've gone from a global branding or mm-hmm. a more global branding place in your coaching practice to now you've pared it down and now you're more specific in where you are with your coaching brand. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, absolutely. I would agree with that.
Good. Let's talk about then the mechanisms, or one of the mechanisms by which there's several by which you went mm-hmm. through your branding journey. I know you've spoke highly of some peer mentors from other countries and whatnot that you've interacted with. And then you shared with me a PDF file of a gentleman's branding work, the 313. So mm-hmm. how do you want to talk about the 313, or do you want to talk about the other influencers you have through Twitter and whatever?
I can talk about both of them. So, you know, the initial one was Tim Coe, and he's out of England. He's absolutely amazing. definitely tells it to you straight, exactly how you need to hear it, which is, you know, I think a lot of us need that guidance, especially in the beginning when you're just, when you're trying to really find your target. You know, I've been coaching for a while, and, you know, I've found that I want to really work with a specific group of people. So Tim was really good. He has what's called the Utterly Seductive Proposal. He has a book. You can find him on his Twitter or his Facebook, Tim Coe. And he has a great process also. So for me, it was taking a combination of his and then Ryan Boland's 313 process. And looking at both of those and really being able to, it's almost like I used Tim Coe's USP to be able to dig all of the information out that I needed. And then I used Ryan's 313 to like put it all together.
Okay, nice. So that's good that you had kind of two theoretical positions to work from and then integrate them in the end.
Well, and we all work, you know, we all are perceiving information differently. So, you know, I think that the 313 really called me into action, like, okay, now that you have all this data from Tim's USP, put it together and create something with all the information that you have. It's a different way of looking at it.
For sure. So, okay. So what, if you can kind of round up round up the data points, what did you end up with from the Tim's thing? What did you end up, what data points about yourself and your practice did you glean from that before you went to 313?
So what I had found from working with Tim was that, you know, I have so much experience working with these and really driven, ambitious, focused individuals. You know, a lot of them being people that are like ER doctors, ER nurses, firemen, cops, you know, people that play sports, people that are CEOs. So these really high level people that are constantly, you know, they're at work and they're so focused on what they're doing that a lot of times everything else around them is just falling apart. So I found that through Tim's process, being able to really hone in on, you know, who are the people that I really want to connect with? And then going over to Ryan and then constructing it so that it was more concise.
Okay. So that's where the 313 process comes in, is making it more concise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
that, like,
No, you go ahead.
I'm sorry. When I was saying that, you know, he talked about having like three words, you know, and having three words and then just having where you're just discussing the problem. What is the problem that you're focusing on, right? Because so many people, and Tim says this as well, but so many people say, I help. It's like, well, nobody cares about that. They want to know the problem that you solve, and do you have something that is worth something to say, right? Is there actual meanings and facts, and are you going to drive and elicit an emotion in people when you're speaking to them? When you're sharing anything on Facebook, when you're sharing anything on Twitter, like, are you speaking to people and giving them valid data and information that can really help them change their life?
Exactly. So it started, I think, doesn't it start with three sentences?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Three sentences.
And then, and those three sentences are a descriptor.
Right, so we talk about the market, the problem, and then the solution. So who's the people that you want to help? What's the problem that they have, and what's the solution that you have?
Okay, right, and so that's good. Now that's for many of us coaches, that's kind of the elevator, almost like an elevator speech.
Yes, absolutely.
And so then, and interestingly, that's where my coaching program, love it, but it kind of stopped right here. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, you know, come up with your brand, come up with your elevator speech, and that's it. You know, that's your branding moment, is this mm-hmm. elevator speech. And man, I found it so hard to do that in three sentences. Okay. So. So from there, where do we go to one sentence, right?
Right. And you come up with, well, it's essentially supposed to have that in it as well. So the market, the problem, and the solution. So, I say, you know, I have a 6-step proven process that helps center driven, ambitious entrepreneurs who have lost clarity in sight of what's important and stop living in constant stress, renew their awareness, and become whole again. So
wow.
My market, my product, and the solution, all in one sentence.
Market, my product. That's good. That was, and you, well, you packed in a, that's a big old sentence though, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, the thing is, and you still perfect it. I mean, I know that there's still some perfecting that I can do with that. But the thing that I think is important for a lot of coaches to understand is we really do lose our audience if we talk too much. You're in a conversation with someone and they ask you what you do. You can tell instantly when they become disinterested.
Right.
Right? Their whole face changes. Like, you know, they might be totally engaged and looking at you with their hands up and open to you and having eye contact, and all of a sudden you start talking and you might see their eyes maybe start to drift down, or, you know, they might reposition the way they're sitting, because then you've lost their interest.
Right. And that target market for a lot of beginning coaches is pretty wide. It's like, okay, for anybody who will hire me, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Right.
Go
ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, the last thing you want is you don't want just anybody, because so for us, let's talk about, you know, so the people that I really enjoy working with are people that like to get stuff done. Okay. People that are, they come to the session open, ready. They have an idea of what they want to do, and they know that they just need a coach to kind of help push them and give them the plan and be their accountability partner. Like, let's get stuff going, you know, or they know that they have an issue at home, maybe like where they're losing connection with their relationship at home because they're so focused on work and they know that it's a problem. Right. So they can see the signs and they need somebody to help lead them to the solution. So that's not just anybody. Right. If I just put on, you know, like I was doing before, if I just put anybody, oh my gosh, there's some clients that I've helped that, you know, they don't want to really help. They don't want to take the steps to get to where they want to be. Or maybe their husband sent them to me. And, you know, then they're feeling upset because they're like, oh, my husband's making me do this. You know, you don't want to just work with anybody. Who are the people that you truly connect with, that you really know that you can help lead them to a transformation? And that's what is amazing about this building your brand process, or not even, I would say for me, it's refining it. That's been amazing because you truly get to take a look at the gifts that you really have and how you really help people. People used to ask me, how do you help people? I'm like, I don't know. I just do it. But there's a process to everything. And doing something like this really truly helps you to refine your process and put it in a way that is more applicable to everything. And so it's been such an eye-opening thing. It's so great, and I really do recommend it for anybody, even people that have been coaching for years, and maybe they feel kind of stuck, and they're thinking, I think maybe I'd like to work with some different people, you know?
So basically, you'd been coaching a while, mm-hmm. So your experiences as a coach for a while now have rebranded who your target market is now. Before it might have been wider, but now your target market is the more motivated person.
Right.
And I don't, there's probably a better way to say that, but.
Well, it's okay. I mean, people, they're ready, because, you know, it's really difficult to coach somebody that's not ready. And, you know, when I was on, the show at Good Morning La La Land just a few weeks ago, I was having a conversation with a coach, and they were sharing with me. They said, you know, it's so frustrating because I have these coach or I have these clients that I give them a homework assignment to do and they don't do it. I'm so frustrated, you know? And, you know, after having a conversation, obviously, you know, I said, well, you know, sometimes people are going to want to do work with you, right? Because that's why they want to coach, and you kind of got to gently guide them to where they can finally do it on their own. But you really have to define the people that you really love working with. Some people like that. Some people like to have the clients that you know, they can do the work with them in the session. Other people want to have the client that, you know, they tell them, you know, this is the plan, you got to get it done. I'm going to check in with you in a few days and, you know, see where we're at. Right. So looking at the person that you really want to work with and then refining all of your branding around that.
So what was your target market sentence? Do you still have that in front of you or near you? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's see here. So that reconnecting driven, ambitious, focused individuals to a fulfilling, centered state of self.
Nice. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not any individual. It's those individuals.
That's so, right. Driven, ambitious, and focused, and ready. Ready to go.
Okay.
Yeah, because...
Okay.
So, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, of course. We could tell. I know.
Because, when it's session, like, I love my clients. We sit down and, okay, this is what you want. How are we going to get there? Let's do it. You know, sometimes people focus on, well, why are you feeling that way? Well, I'm not there for this. So, you know, my job is to help you figure out how we're going to get there. Let's do it.
No, it's good. That's good. So now we have the three words that you come up with. So talk about that prospect and then kind of comparing it to, you have the profession and the famous person and the cartoon and whatnot. So go ahead and kind of tell us about how you integrated some of that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the three words, I have to just admit that I'm still trying to figure that out.
Oh.
I'm still trying to figure out the three words. I thought maybe you could help me with that today. And then people can see kind of what that looks like.
Okay.
What do you think?
Sure. I can certainly try that. So let's let's look at our food groups here. I don't know if it has to go into it to an order, but because there's the professions, right? There's famous mm-hmm. people, there's cartoon characters, and there's fictional characters.
So essentially, a lot of my people are maybe I call myself a recovering adrenaline junkie.
Ah, okay.
So I thought something like that, you know, so like a recovering adrenaline junkie, what are things that they do, you know?
Is that the profession, the recovering adrenaline junkie, or what? Because we're asking you where that fits. But yeah, that's or you're just trying to describe who is that, who does that. What's an example
describing that person?
Okay,
that
gotcha.
Person is always on the go. That person is like go, 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 go. Always focused on the win. Focused on the win. So I'm helping them to get centered so they can have that centered, you know, that balance in their life. Well, I don't want to say balance because that's not really it's being centered in within yourself. You know, almost like I'm the fulcrum for them, right? Like helping them come back to that centered state of self.
Okay. So that go, go, go person, are we looking for a real person? Or are we looking for a real or famous person or a cartoon character or a fictional character that's go, go, go?
Well, I would be, so in this process, I'm the person mm-hmm. that would be either the famous person, the character, or the fictional character. And so, you know, what that means in the 313 process is you come up with the three words. So if you're like the, what did she say? He says the blacksmith of marketing. The
right, the ninja, you know, the of something.
Of, right. Yeah. So the ninja of coaching, you know, whatever you want to call it, something like that.
The Mr. Robot. Here's some of the examples. The Mr. Robot of code, the Donald Duck of accounting, the Charlie Brown of blogging, broker of talent. Okay, so they have actually, you could have a another noun, you know, referee of risk, protector of animals, director of stories, the head coach of student success. Okay. So, all right. So what do you have? So do you want to stick with the adrenaline junkie?
Well, actually, no, because I'm giving them a centeredness, right? So I guess it would be called balance. So something of balance.
Okay, the something of balance. Okay. Something of balance.
Yeah, that's it. So what? Those are the things I'm like,
So balance as in, you know, balance lifestyle, physical balance, of balance.
Well, that's all encompassing, right? It's all encompassing because if you're not centered inside of yourself, that means that, you know, you have a good base so that you're able to represent who you are in your life, like your personal life, your relationships, and your business. Because I find that, and this is through personal experience as an ER nurse, that I was feeling so great being at work all the time and having this acknowledgement and significance, you know, saving lives in the trauma bay. And then I went home and it did not feel the same way.
Wow.
You know, so you go to work and here I am saving lives and, you know, being exposed to some really, truly crazy things and coming home and not feeling that same feeling. And a lot of those people feel that way. A lot of really successful people, you know, running to work because that's where they feel great. And then they go home and that feeling's not there. Or, you know, they're at work and they forget all about themselves. And so their health starts failing and, you know, they're forgetting about themselves. And, you know, maybe they're not able to be the genuine, kind, loving person that they normally are because they're so filled with stress, just focusing on work all the time.
Okay.
I'm sure you know plenty of those people.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm trying to think of things that show the balance, and that, you know, there's people out there that have these balanced lives, but you have to read about them, right? Like, like Jennifer Garner or Jada Pinkett Smith or Jessica Alba, because they do all these work things, they do all these volunteer things, and they're just these wonderful balanced people. But you wouldn't know that, and they don't. I mean, right? I mean, I wouldn't necessarily know that about them have I not read about them. So I'm trying to think of something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So something that's an icon for balance, right?
Right. Or just the, you know, it's funny because Ryan was walking some people through the process on a podcast, and it was interesting, just the questions that he was asking. He's like, okay, well, who's your favorite cartoon character? Who's your favorite actor, actress? Or, and I thought, oh, well, She-Ra is definitely my favorite cartoon character.
There you go. Yeah, explain to our listeners that one. That was good because you really did a good job of describing that character.
Right. Well, She-Ra is, she's very kind and loving, and she loves her people. But yet, you know, when she needs to, she will definitely put that, you know, she calls in the power of Grayskull and becomes She-Ra. And so that's what I love about her, is that she's so loving, but yet she knows when to use her power.
Okay.
So maybe the She-Ra of balance, something like that. So.
Maybe so. Because that starts the discussion. If, like, oh, tell me about She-Ra or whatever. You know what I mean? And
exactly. Well, because when you think of She-Ra, or you think of, like how you and I were talking about Clint Eastwood, when you think of that person, you already have the image of who they are in your mind, right?
You do. No, I like it. I like it. How do you spell... How do you spell Shira.
Shira, it's S-H-E capital R-A.
Okay.
Can you not? You know
Yeah. Princess of Power, right? Yes. Of course. Okay, there she is. So I'm looking at some images of her. And don't worry, folks, it's not what you think. Yeah, okay. And yet you do have, right? You have the same long hair she has and stuff. So, yeah. I don't know. I've never met you in person, but from what I can tell.
You
folks, I'm trying to say she fits the phenotype. Here we go. This person's wearing a little bit more of a fighting outfit here so she can maximize her kicks. But
maximize her kicks.
Is that a nice way
of saying? Like Shira. Yeah. I don't dress like her every day.
Yeah, no, not every day. But so, hey, you know what I mean? That is definitely a possibility of balance.
Yeah.
See what I mean? Because you have this kind of female warrior person or that quickly steps into a female warrior, which, you know, that's the get it done, right? Active side of you, holding people accountable. Let's get this done. But yet it's done in a strong woman kind of way. And the object of the preposition of balance, right? So it's not like of, you know, like Grant Cardone and all those guys, the 10 times rule and da-da-da, you know what I mean? Where you're conquering what you eat or, you know, eat and kill or whatever. So you're not,
yeah.
Right? So you're not really going off on that. So that could...
No. And, you know, to be honest with you, or just to bring this up, since you mentioned Grant Cardone, you know, he also, I mean, he doesn't spend much time with his children from what he says on his social media, but, you know, we don't know, right? Because we're not at his house with him every morning. But he talks about his morning routine. And in his morning routine, he mentions that in the morning, he spends time with his kids. Does his gym time, spends time with his girls, and then he goes to work. And so, I mean, that is so important for, even though he's saying 10X, 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 like, you know, you got to 10X everything. He still is
takes the time.
Present. Exactly, as a father. And so people, I think, sometimes might not see that. But someone like me that's been on the other side of that notices those things now.
So, okay, yeah. So, good point. So, when, when somebody, you could say, I'm the Shira of balance. Another example is, do you like or don't like balance?
I don't. I mean, I like it, but it's not catchy, right? Because if you say that, it's not like, oh, okay.
Running through this paradigm, you could say, I'm like the Shira that meets balance. Well, that doesn't make sense. I'm like, think of me as the Shira of balance. That's the other one. I think, you know, the Shira, at least at first pass, I think that's the keeper. One, it provokes discussion. Mm-hmm. Two, it lends itself to a visual which you represent naturally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Head on. So that's a huge fit. So now, was there something else in your three sentences that would be better than balance?
So let me see. Helping people to renew their awareness, they've lost clarity, living in constant stress.
Go ahead and read the three sentences for our listeners. Read the three sentences again. It's okay. And that way they can help. If we had a caller, they would help. they can always email you after the show and help.
So I have a proven 6-step process that helps center, driven, ambitious entrepreneurs who've lost clarity and sight of what's important, stop living in constant stress, renew awareness, and become whole.
Okay. So the Shira of wholeness, clarity.
Oh, because if it's going to be...
Whatever's that final goal.
Yeah, it should be actually maybe clarity, since I mean there's clarity or Shira of success or something of clarity.
Okay. You said Shira of success?
Maybe. That's pretty cool.
No, because this is, Shira success, it's catchy enough. It has alliteration with the S's. You pair it with a picture, and you could then operationally define success as being whole, being balanced, being clear, you know, have the clarity, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And so you're just, you're just feeding in all those other elements from the other sentences into the word success. So what was the other thing? Or the blank of balance?
Balance or clarity. Said? It's interesting because the other day I said something like that to somebody else. I said, I'm like the Sherlock Holmes of clarity. But I thought, I don't really want to refer to myself as Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
Because he's a man. You know?
Right. Microscope of clarity. No. Jeweler's glass of clarity. Now, I'm just trying to think of things that are the Windex. I'm decompensating.
It's okay. It's a process, you know, and this is
I know
the thing I think maybe that people can recognize is and this is why a lot of people don't do this. So, you know, let's bring some light to this maybe. When you look at people's websites and you look at their Instagram pages and you look at their Facebook page, take a look at the description that they have of themselves, right? And do they truly, are they truly representing who it is that they want to help? I mean, this three word thing, it's really cool, but, you know, and it's meant to be like a little bit of a like catchy thing where you can get people's attention, which it is important, but honestly, the thing that is the most important is the guts of what's on your website, what you're telling people, and how you're catching their attention.
Well, yeah, and right, and so exactly, and so some of the things in my elevator pitch was helping executives through these other struggles and this and this and this and this and that, and then I put those are my service lines on the website, and then I just describe each service line, and that's it. It's pretty simple. So, the Shira of success, and I kind of like that. I think that's a pretty. Certainly, it's pretty decent. I mean, what that does is, you know, Shira represents certain things, and success represents certain things, and then that goes for the discussion. So, and let's face it, you don't offer. I mean, as coaches and what you're doing, and all these processes and all these other issues that you coach people through, you couldn't list all those on your website, right? You would just, it'd be more, you are your brand. You're talking about who you are as a change agent, who you are as a coach. And again, if they don't call it personal branding for nothing. And I'll tell you, I mean, to my discredit, I branded more my service lines and not me. You know, I think people, I'm thinking about this now, but I think the way I've played this is I've marketed more what I can do for people versus who I am as the deliverer of those services.
Right. Yeah. Because people come to you for when they're Googling the pain point. They're not Googling the outcome because they don't know the outcome yet because you are delivering the outcome. Right.
Right. And, so, and he talks about that, okay. This guy went to Google and he shopped the competitors because your information wasn't clear enough. That's why he's shopping, he or she is shopping the competitors. Remember that? You remember reading that?
Yes, absolutely. And
so
you know, the other thing, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
The other thing that I wanted to mention is, you know, through the process of what you're doing, when I just want to speak to what you said just a moment ago, and you said, you can't list everything that you do on the website. And the thing is, the reason why I call myself a clarity and success coach is because after working with so many clients, they tell me I give them so much clarity and that helps them to have tremendous success in their life. So I can't, you know, like I can't list everything, but I know that how to help them get clear so they can see where all the pain points are in their life. And so that's this whole process of the 313 and the UST, the utterly seductive proposal, is to hone in on that, because there's a few things that you do, but there's one major thing that you do that really gives your people the results and the outcome.
Correct. And again, this is something, everything that you did and said that you do, even with some of the breadth and depth of the mechanisms, you could get that done in a page. And you and I know, I've gone to coaches' websites and they just had a crap ton of information. You know what I mean? Pages for this and pages for that. And you got mired down. And that's why I kind of went with a minimalist approach, you know. And again, I think what you're saying is broad. And also the other thing I like about what you're saying is it's almost all in retrospect. Is it you're saying, hey, clients have told me I do this, this, this. Isn't that interesting? Because you're not saying I do this, 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 but most of the time you've stated, you know, my clients have told me this, or experience tells me that the clients that got the most did this, this, and this. So it's really interesting because you're just not you're not blowing smoke out there, marketing smoke. You're kind of making it more data-based or more client-centered sounding, you know, looking back, which I think is interesting.
Thank you, Bruce. And, you know, the thing is you've got to listen to what your people are telling you and then hone in on those skills, right?
Right.
So, and for me, I think that's what makes anybody a successful coach, leader, anything. If you're listening, if you're asking people, hey, how did I do? You know, every time I end a session, I'm like, okay, what did you gain from this session? You know what, you know, how, because my focus is to improve their quality of life. And so how can I do that if I don't know if I'm not touching on the points that they need? So, and being able to market in a way of, you know, like this is what my clients tell me that I give them through the processes that I have. So I know for a fact that I can do this because I've done it time and time and time again.
Right. So it is this multiple stage, you know. So how would you compare? We got about 3 minutes left, by the way. So how would you compare where you are now versus where you were in the beginning of your coaching practice years? Where are you today?
Oh my gosh. You know what? Right now I feel like, it's amazing. It is so fulfilling to have this focus on exactly the people that one, it's funny because the people that have been my favorite clients, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is all of them. And now it's really stepping into my true self and representing who I am exactly as a coach. And I love it. It is so much more fulfilling now than it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And it's interesting because I would have never thought that I would say that, because I've always loved coaching from the beginning, right? Here I'm working in the ER and having all these transformations with people I have no idea. And now where I'm at now, it's just growing. And I'm having so many more huge opportunities and have speaking engagements and all kinds of stuff coming up. It's when you truly step into your gift, it's almost indescribable. It's a really awesome feeling.
Yep, it is. It is. Sounds like you've gone from a little bit more of a global position to more of a specific position and more of a specialist in a way, particularly with your target market, and which I think is great. And like you said, you know, you're seeing the fruit of that. You're speaking in Florida here pretty soon. And who knows, there'll be some speaking engagements and some other fun stuff to follow. So I think that's great.
Thank you. It's been wonderful.
Okay,
wonderful.
Well, how can our listeners reach you? Do you have a website, Instagram, email? What are the contact points, touch points that folks can reach you?
So, sure, my website is Elizabeth A. Cantu, that's Cantu, like you can too. And that's across the board on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everything. Elizabeth A. Cantu.
Perfect. All right. So go to her site and visit her and get to know more about Elizabeth. So thanks for coming on the show today. That was quick. It seemed to whiz by. We barely got things covered, but hopefully folks, that 313 method and just clarifying things for ourselves as coaches, just so we can be better marketers and actually see the clients we're more cut out to see. That way we're not doing work. We're doing what we were created to do. And that way you're not working, or you don't feel tired and have to necessarily do all these refreshing things or whatever for self-care, because you're doing what you love to do. So, and that helps. So folks, come by and see our Facebook page, Concierge Coaches Show on Facebook. Our Instagram is The Concierge Coaches Show. Our LinkedIn is The Concierge Coaches Show as well. I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Justin will be back next week. We'll have another exciting show for you here on LA Talk Radio on the Concierge Coaches Show. See you next week, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.